Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, the use and demand of real-time payments are on the rise. And with growing use, inevitably comes the rise in disputes too. Now, while disputes are straightforward for card-based transactions, for real-time payments, it isn't so simple or even guaranteed. However, as more people flock to a real-time payments platform, and as more of them become available, the need for better disputes processing grows as well. But this could be easier said than done. During this podcast, we will be discussing some of the differences between card-based and real-time payment disputes, and we'll also be hearing about some of the lessons learned from Cuscal, a leading processor of real-time payments in Australia. So to further unpack this, I'm joined by Mercator Advisor Group's Director of Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service, Sarah Grotta, BHMI's Senior Project Manager, Cheryl Fitzgerald, and Cuscal's Head of Product of Emerging Services, Nathan Churchward. So there's certainly a lot to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show. So Cheryl, Nathan, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about the dispute processing for real-time payments. Now, before we dive deep into today's conversation here, Sarah, I'd like to start with you. So Sarah, can you start by giving us some information about current and projected increases of real-time payments?
Yeah, actually, thanks, Ryan. This is going to be a really interesting topic, I think. Certainly one that I'm interested in as well, because, you know, particularly here in the U.S., you know, real-time payments is still evolving. And I don't think that, you know, as I look across, you know, financial institutions in particular, that we've really got this quite figured out yet. But let me talk a little bit about your question, which is, you know, the growth and projections. And let me start by saying that, you know, here in the U.S., there's really more than one network to use to facilitate real-time or near real-time payments. So let me clarify that for purposes of this conversation, I'm considering transactions on the Clearinghouse RTP network. I'm also thinking about the MasterCard and Visa push payment networks and also the Zelle network. And, you know, what we're seeing right now is really the top three use cases where we're seeing the most rapid growth in the U.S. market for real time is in payroll related transactions, meaning that B2C activity for an emergency payroll adjustments, or a payment to a gig worker where the expectation is that workers are paid the day that they complete a task. Another use case where we're seeing a lot of growth are account to account or me to me transfers. So, you know, this might be where I want to transfer money from one checking account to another checking account I may own at another financial institution, perhaps to cover an automatic bill payment, or perhaps I want to move money from my primary account to, say, a brokerage account to transact a particular activity. And finally, certainly we're seeing a lot of growth in P2P real-time transactions. You know, the pandemic has certainly instigated a lot of recent growth there, much of which we do believe is going to be sticking around. Now, the Clearinghouse and the card networks, you know, don't report volume numbers, so it's a little bit tricky to be really precise about growth. But from what we're hearing regarding adoption rates and learning about what's happening in those various segments that do provide some reporting, we believe that the growth rates for real-time payments in total are somewhere in the range of 40 to 50% year over year. And certainly we're seeing some pockets that are growing faster. And certainly we think, at least here in the U.S., we have a lot of growth still in front of us.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Sarah. You know, and I certainly find real-time payments, the topic itself, to be extremely interesting just because of the rapid growth that's really going on that side of the payments ecosystem here. But now, as you kind of take a look at growth, obviously, then there's going to be a lot of new challenges that need to be addressed. And one of those is obviously the bulk of today's conversation is going to be really around how to handle disputes with real-time payments. So Cheryl, I'd like to start with you then, and maybe you can kind of spend a few minutes explaining how disputing real-time payments is different than disputing traditional card-based transactions.
Thanks, Ryan. I'd be happy to. So P2P payments represent a real-time option for transferring funds from one party to another. This is very different than the historic payment methods, such as credit, debit, and check, primarily in terms of settling or moving the funds between the parties. Because with historic payment methods, the payer's financial institution is sending money to a card network or another financial institution via a settlement method that can take multiple days to complete the transfer and make the funds available to the person or business receiving the money. With P2P payments, the transfer of funds between the payer and the payee is much faster because more time has elapsed between the time the payee has received the payment and the time when the payer notices that there might be something wrong with the merchandise received or it's a fraudulent transaction that occurred. That introduces a higher risk of not being able to resolve the dispute. The traditional payment methods have been available for decades. As a result, the dispute regulations for these programs are very well defined, and updates to the programs are released at set intervals. Most people using these payment methods understand the risk and financial liability involved and have a high degree of trust that a dispute will be resolved. On the other hand, P2P is relatively new in the marketplace, and the dispute regulations and procedures being created by the different P2P networks are in the early stages of development. Their update cycles are not well defined. People using these payment methods may not be aware of who has the financial liability for a dispute until they are involved in one. And the financial liability changes depending upon the network involved. What we are seeing currently in the United States is that the total time required to research and return disputed P2P funds is similar to that of traditional payment methods. Even though a P2P funds transfer occurs in near real time, obtaining a reimbursement for an errored funds transfer can take weeks or months to complete. This absent quality between payment processing and dispute processing is one area in need of significant quality improvement. Now, if you look at how Australia is handling disputes for its real-time NPP transactions, they are having quite a bit of success resolving disputed transactions closer to the time the actual payment occurred.
Yeah, Cheryl, thank you so much for that. Now, Nathan, I'm really glad that we've got you on today's episode because, you know, as Cheryl's pointing out there, you know, in Australia, the new payments platform or NPP supports real-time payments and Cuscal is processing these transactions on behalf of your clients. So can you start by telling us a little bit more about NPP and Cuscal?
Sure, Ryan, I'd love to. So Cuscal is a wholesale payments bank focused on providing processing and settlement services to other banks and payments businesses. We count more than 50 banks as our clients. That's half of all Australian retail banks, ranging from small credit unions to the fifth and sixth largest banks. NPP Australia is owned by 13 Australian banks, including Cuscal, and coordinates the rules and the limited centralized infrastructure. Most systems and processes are managed by the participants rather than a central service. And unlike most real-time payment systems, NPP is a distributed model with the payment clearing and settlement infrastructure operated by those participants. The other thing to note is that NPP enables both direct as well as sponsored participation modes, and Cuscal has established ourselves as the leading enabler of real-time payments for a broad range of bank and non-bank financial institutions and payment service providers, leveraging those indirect rules. In fact, we are currently processing almost 20% of all NPP payments.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that information there, Nathan. But now, as one of Australia's leading providers of payment solutions, Cuscal has successfully faced the challenges of transforming its back office to address areas such as successfully managing disputes for real-time payments. So perhaps maybe you can talk a little bit about the process you went through to ensure that your payments back office could support the requirements of real-time payments.
Sure, Ryan. So when the rules for NPP were being established, and I'm proud to have been a member of the committee that worked on this, the decision was made that all disputes, investigations, and payment returns must be handled using the ISO messaging in as close to real time as possible. This was a bold move, as this level of integration and high bar expectation hadn't been attempted in other systems. The rules include having systems that can accept an investigation request in real time, in line with the principles of being able to accept a payment in real time. Each type of investigation, dispute, or request for return of a payment then has its own SLAs applied. For Cascale, this meant that we not only had to ensure we could handle the messaging, we also needed to have a solution that could enable our clients to meet the obligations for responding and actioning when a payment needed to be returned. We needed a system with multi-tenancy support and one that could be used by our clients in a self-service capacity, as well as a solution that could be integrated with our payment systems for straight-through real-time processing. The way we provide a self-service managed process for disputes is now one of our competitive advantages and has saved our clients from considerable development and operational overheads compared to others who have not delivered the same level of servicing or integration to meet their real-time obligations.
Nathan, that sounds like a very interesting approach to solving this issue around disputes. From listening to you, it sounds as if, you know, collectively everyone sort of came together, figured out what needed to happen to make this a smooth process, and then collaborated on the resolution.
That's true, Sarah. And then each participant was responsible for selecting the back office systems that would enable them to step mm-hmm. up and meet those expectations.
So you have a consistent system. So if I'm a consumer utilizing NPP, I know that regardless of how I'm making that payment or with whom, I'm going to get the same result should I have a dispute.
More or less. I think yeah. that different market participants have implemented different solutions. We're really proud at Cascale that we think we've got one of the most efficient ones, and certainly the one that enables those sponsored indirect participants to actually deliver an equivalent level of service to one of the major banks that would be directly connected.
Very interesting. Thanks for that.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much for that. Now, Cheryl, I want to bring you back into the conversation here. So we know companies like Cascale have selected the Concourse Financial Software Suite to really transform its back office to meet the needs of real-time payments. One of those modules within Concourse is called Concourse Disputes. Pretty straightforward there. And it's being used by companies like Cascale to manage disputes for real-time payments. So perhaps maybe you can tell us about Concourse Disputes and why it is well-suited for real-time payments.
Absolutely. So Concourse Disputes is a workflow management system that manages the disputes lifecycle from the initial claim entry to final resolution. The system can manage disputes from both an issuer and an acquirer perspective. It's ideally suited for real-time payments for a variety of reasons. For example, it provides real-time loading and viewing of transaction history and disputes for any type of electronic payment. This makes it easy for companies to quickly research transactions, manage disputes, and track all dispute activity in real time. For Cascale, we are loading NPP payment transactions. Concourse is then used to launch an investigation and to exchange messages with the other party to resolve the dispute. Concourse also receives investigations that are inbound to Cascale and again to exchange messages with the other party. If an investigation results in a payment being returned, Concourse facilitates this by creating the funds movement instructions.
Yeah, excellent. Now, Cheryl, I know that one of the biggest challenges that companies are facing is keeping up with the ever-changing dispute regulation and mandates. You know, I get to have conversations with Sarah on a semi-regular basis regarding, you know, particularly around disputes and regulations here. And my head just spins when we begin to talk about it. And this is obviously especially true with new dispute regulations for real-time payment networks. So let's dive into that a little bit, and maybe you can talk a little bit about how Concourse in particular addresses this challenge.
Yes, this is one of the key reasons Concourse is so well suited for real-time payments. Network and regulation-specific dispute plans for any type of transaction can be configured via Concourse's configurable rules engine and workflow configuration. So for Cascale, we configured NPP-specific dispute plans. As new updates come out from NPP, the dispute plans are updated in Concourse to ensure all NPP disputes are handled in a compliant manner. And with the new Pay2 initiative, we are currently working with Cascale on new dispute plans to support this initiative. Cascale is also using Concourse for its Visa disputes, and therefore it is leveraging the pre-configured Visa dispute plans. BHMI has a team that is completely dedicated to maintaining these network-specific dispute plans for its clients. These dispute plans include network-specific reason codes, time windows, and workflows. The Concourse dispute system uses the characteristics of a transaction, such as the participating network and transaction type, to automatically assign the appropriate dispute plan. This dispute plan then manages the rest of the dispute lifecycle, including next possible dispute actions, required fields, required documents, and appropriate message reason codes. Concourse Disputes guides the users through each step of the workflow process and ensures all dispute activities are completed in a regulatory compliant manner. One other reason I want to mention that makes Concourse so well suited for real-time payments is that it provides direct connectivity with the payment network's dispute systems. As I just mentioned, Concourse exchanges messages in near real time in support of NPP investigations. Also, Concourse allows Cascale to systematically send and receive information directly from Visa vRoll. This dramatically speeds up and automates the communication process between Cascale and the payment networks. There are quite a few other features I could mention that make Concourse ideally suited for real-time payments. We've worked hard to architect a robust dispute system that is allowing companies like Cascale to dramatically shorten their disputes management lifecycle.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Cheryl. You know, and I think it's really important to kind of really set the foundation for the module there. But now, Nathan, I'd love to get really kind of your boots on the ground perspective of the Concourse Disputes module here. And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about Cascale's use of Concourse Disputes for the management of NPP disputes.
So some of the features that we identified that Concourse could help us to deliver, and some of the areas that we created specific rules, as Cheryl's mentioned, having the benefits of a single platform that could be used both for our real-time payment as well as the card payment disputes means that those self-service processes that we're now rolling out to our clients, that they start to get used to those in different environments, and they're not having to have multiple training processes. We also like that we could integrate that with our individual payment messages as well as the batch processes. To bring it to life, we federated the access to Concourse with our own transaction inquiry system so that our clients can create a dispute simply by selecting the transaction and initiating an action, which then opens the dispute and populates all of the details in Concourse. For an inward dispute, when that is received, the item is automatically allocated to the appropriate dispute queue, both for the client as well as the dispute type. And Concourse is configured to send the relevant client an email with a deep link. This means our clients can integrate actions into their own workflow tools or just to their email inbox if this is how they work. The SLA for each dispute type is monitored by Concourse, and if the client is behind in their actions, the Cascale team is alerted through our own queue and we can follow the client up and offer assistance. So you can see it created some end-to-end workflows, not just for us, but for our clients. And that's the level of flexibility that we think is really important in a real time, as well as a multi-tenant and multi-scheme solution.
Now, Nathan, I'm curious, just one more quick question for you. Does Cascale also use other components of Concourse besides Concourse Disputes?
Glad you asked, Ryan. We actually also use Concourse to manage the settlement process between us and our clients for their real-time payments, so Concourse Settlements module. And also this year, we've kicked off projects to add our card settlements to that solution as well. Also, we're doing the billing module, which is helping us to improve the handling of the Visa optional issuer fee for charging of cross-border transactions. So we're certainly getting a lot of value out of the different modules that are available.
You know, listening to you, Nathan, it sounds like there's a lot of flexibility. So maybe I could ask Cheryl. Cheryl, do you think that, you know, some of what has been developed and is being utilized, you know, in Australia could be, you know, brought back here to the US to help the market with dispute issues around real-time payments?
Oh, certainly. A lot of what we see happening in Australia, like for how NPP is handling dispute transactions for real-time payments, we actually already see a lot of the networks here in the States adopting similar approaches. I think that in Australia, like with the MPP network, one thing that they're, well, Cuscal specifically is ahead in, I would say, is that self-service model for their clients and being able to notify them with, you know, emails and deep links back into the system as, you know, more of a, well, definitely a self-service environment. So that's something that I think will be brought into the States and more people here will start taking advantage of that.
Excellent. Now, if we could, before I wrap things up, Cheryl and Nathan, you know, we know that many companies are faced really with the challenge of modernizing legacy back office systems that really were developed decades ago. And since both of you have had firsthand experience with this challenge, perhaps you can offer a few pieces of advice to companies that might be listening today and needing to address this particular challenge. And Nathan, if we could start with you here.
So Ryan, I think it's key to understand your client value chain and determine how far up that value chain you can expose and provide self-service tools to streamline the back office. When you consider the negative impact that disputes have on customer experience, implementing processes that give control to clients to understand the status and take action themselves has a huge payback in customer satisfaction and retention. Cheryl, over to you.
Okay, so based on what we've seen, many companies are relying on back office dispute systems that were built decades ago and not designed to handle the new payment methods such as P2P payments. For these companies, an option is to transform their outdated systems with a nimble and flexible solution. Regarding shortening the disputes lifecycle, we have found that providing a real-time enterprise view of all transaction and disputes-related data in one system is a huge advantage. Another suggestion is to increase the use of intelligent workflows to process disputes. We found that training and disputes processing can be significantly reduced when system-based workflows are used to automatically walk disputes personnel through current processes. Related to this is reducing manual processing as much as possible. There are many steps within a disputes lifecycle that can be automated. For example, providing integrations with supporting systems used for document generation, email distribution, fax transmissions, and gateways to other networks can dramatically shorten the disputes resolution process.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it there. So Cheryl, Nathan, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about dispute processing for real-time payments. And I hope to have all of you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you very much.